Good morning to you. All right, so let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. So if you're visiting with us, we've been going through the book of Hebrews for about 3 or 4 months now. And we're getting ready to finish up chapter 11, which was the Faith Hall of Fame. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, as always, just for the opportunity to come and learn and grow and develop relationships here in our church family and friendships, and Lord, opportunity to worship and praise your holy name. And Lord, we just lift up all the folks that are sick, all the folks that are not here this morning, traveling, going about. And Lord, we just pray for Danny Ray, Lord, our friend. And Lord, we just lift him up in Jesus' name, Father. We thank you for the progress that's been going on so far in the last day or so. And Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus over his life and ask that your will be done, that you comfort him, give him courage and strength, that you'll heal those things that's going on in his life, Father, with his heart. And Lord, we just give them to you, Father, and ask in Jesus' name that you'll provide the healing that he needs. Pray for his family. That you'll comfort them and give them strength and courage to make it one day at a time. Lord, bless this message, Lord. Help me teach it and preach it as you put it on my heart this week. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 through 40. So this is going to finish us up in the book of Hebrews. So if you have notes, you know, get your notes out. Let's get ready to be students of the Word. Students of the Word. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, and let's read. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David, and Samson, and the prophets, who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. And verse 35 says, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking, flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts, the mountains, and the dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And everybody said amen? Amen. Okay, so like I said, we've been going through the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 11. Appreciate Adam preaching last Sunday. Did a great job. That was awesome. A lot of us talked about it all through the week. So good job. We appreciate you, man, very much. So the last time we taught on Hebrews chapter 11, we finished up with Moses. Sometimes I get all mixed up about Joseph. I don't know why I get that mixed up. But anyway, with Moses, we ended up with Moses, and he was part of the Faith Hall of Fame. And the writer of Hebrews basically just skipped the 40 years when the Israelites were wandering around in the desert, lost, and because basically of their lack of faith. Which really, you know, emphasizes the point that without faith, we really can't please God. Amen? And so this begs the question, and it's where we're going this morning, is how do we grow in faith? Now, I know faith, you know, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've covered a lot of that in Hebrews. But I believe these last few scriptures in chapter 11 really points out four areas where we need to be proactive. This is something that we can do. We need to be proactive. And if you're taking notes in your sermon notes, here's the four things. We need to stay away from negative people. I know that sounds kind of blunt, but I'll share something on that in a minute. So first one, stay away from negative people. Number two, stay focused on God's purpose. Number three, switch from our pride to God's power. And then number four, stand on God's promises. So these are the four points we're going to cover this morning. So people, purpose, power, and promise. All right, so let's take the first one. Stay away from negative people. That sounds kind of hard, but let's look at what I believe the Scriptures is teaching us this morning in these last verses of chapter 11. Other than Joshua and Caleb, and most of you know the story. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but that's okay. You know, we've all heard the story 100 times, but we know, you know, Joshua and Caleb, other than them, every Israelite male over the age of 20 years old that left Egypt, what did they do? They died. They died because mainly of their lack of faith. And only their children entered into the promised land. So let's look at verse 30 as we go, you know, scripture by scripture here. Verse 30 says, it tells us, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Again, we've all heard the story. To possess the land, they first had to conquer Jericho, a fortress city that was surrounded by a great wall. It was just literally impenetrable. You know, it was a huge, big wall. And God had a very strange plan, okay, to take this city. He tells him to march his army around Jericho for 7 days. And also, God tells Joshua to tell his entire army to keep their big mouths shut. That's kind of an odd request, isn't it? But he was obedient. It's Joshua 6:10 tells us about this. So let me read this. Joshua 6:10. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." So these are specific instructions for him. You see, God, I believe that God knows, right? It only takes a few negative, complaining people to discourage everyone. Do you agree? Amen. If God had allowed them to talk, they're walking around, I imagine that around about the third day, you know, one of them fellows, the soldiers, would have probably looked at the other one and said, "Man, I just feel really stupid walking around. Just keep walking around." And the other negative little friend would probably said, "Yeah, man, that's the dumbest idea you ever heard. This don't even make sense. This is ridiculous. Why are we doing this? This is stupid." Then that person would have said something similar to another person, and then to another person, and pretty soon that negative attitude would have spread like wildfire. You see, if you want your faith to grow, stay away from negative and complaining people. Don't hang around people who see only the problems rather than the possibilities of faith and what God may be up to, what God's got planned up his sleeve. Being negative and pessimistic is extremely contagious. You can be easily infected by it, and it can weaken your faith. So be very careful with this. Now, because the Israelites were obedient to God and they did what they were told, we all know the story. The walls of Jericho fell on the seventh day when the priest blew their trumpets and the army shouts. So to make your faith grow, stay away from negative people and the pessimistic folks that just can't seem to let that go. Okay. Now, number two, I think that the Word of God highlights here is stay focused on God's purpose. Stay focused on God's purpose for your life. Now, let's look at verse 31. Verse 31 tells us that Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Now, before taking Jericho, we all know Joshua sent spies to the city, right? And then Rahab, you know, hid the spies in her house. And she had only really heard the stories about the God of Israel. She had probably heard it from some of her traveling customers, which it is what it is, right? I'm not going to sugarcoat that. You see, she only had a secondhand knowledge of the God of Israel. She'd only kind of heard about God, but she showed incredible faith. And she knew, she believed God was going to give Jericho to the Israelites. Now, Rahab was a very interesting and surprise entry into the Faith Hall of Fame. Remember, we've been talking about the Faith Hall of Fame, chapter 11. She was a very interesting, you know, entry into that. Mainly because she first was a Gentile, and then she was a prostitute. So this was surprising. But yet, because of her faith, which was demonstrated by hiding the spies and protecting her, you know, the spies in her house, then God spared her and her family when Jericho was destroyed. Now, this is a very interesting. Most of you know this, but some of you might not. But this is very cool to me right here. Even more surprising is that Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute, would eventually become the great great grandmother of King David. And also a key person in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? You see, God had a great purpose for this despised Canaanite prostitute. And He has a great purpose for you too. Rahab, I could imagine, but never even thought that God could use someone like her. Now, you may be thinking here this morning, or the sound of my voice, that God could never use anyone like you. And that's a lie. God uses ordinary people. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. The Bible is full of those stories. So don't ever listen to the lie of the enemy that God can't use you because of your past or because of your lack of this or your lack of that. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." This is what the Word of God says. This is not me trying to motivate you. I hope you are motivated and encouraged by the Word of God this morning. See, your faith will grow if you stay away from negative people, stay focused on God's purpose, and then number three is switch from our pride to God's power. Now, as we look at verse 32 through 35, for the sake of time, I think the author of Hebrews just goes through and lists some names, talks about some things that they did. They mentioned all these different things that they've done. But I'd like to this morning to highlight the verse 35, the very second part of verse 35. Now, stay with me. Verse 35 says that some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Now, the key word there we want to look at is some. Some of your translations say others. The key word in this verse is some. Everybody say some. Yep, some or others. You see, all the previously mentioned were victorious in their battles, and they escaped danger, and they escaped death, and they had victories. However, don't miss this point in chapter 11 here. However, some did not have a miraculous deliverance like Noah and Moses and Rahab. Like it says in verse 36 and 37, some endured mocking, flogging, chains, imprisonment. Some were stoned, sawed in half, killed with the sword. Some of the heroes in this Hero Hall of Fame, you know, this Faith Hall of Fame. Some of the heroes went around wearing skins of sheep and goats and were destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. I'm trying to preach the word here, though. It's okay. Here's one of the reasons why I believe. These are listed so we will know it is not always God's will to deliver us. Therefore, sometimes we must simply endure. Sometimes we must hang in there. Sometimes in life, we've just got to have faith, and that's it. We're going to trust God. Sometimes it's not going to look all peachy and wonderful and great. That's where we have that faith. Just like these guys. Hopefully I don't have to run around in sheepskin one day, but, you know, I want to believe that, you know, Jerry can fix me up without. But seriously, you know, we don't know what's going to happen toward the end of the days, do we? You know, I mean, be scary about it, but we don't know. If we get closer and closer to the end, who knows? But these folks went through that. And I believe the reason that the author and the reason the Holy Spirit put this in here is to show us that sometimes we have to endure. We have to keep putting up with whatever we're putting up with. I mean, Paul was a great example, wasn't he? I mean, Paul, he had what he calls a thorn in his flesh. And he even said that it tormented him. And Paul was a great, mighty man of faith, and he prayed three specific times for God to take this away. Right? And what did God say in 2 Corinthians 12:9? God said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And then Paul goes on and says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, they're basically right here. There are three kinds of grace in the Bible, and I don't have time to get into this, and maybe one day we'll teach a little series on this. But there's empowering grace or sustaining grace, as some say, and that's in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And then there's saving grace, which is Ephesians 2:8. And then there's equipping grace, which is 1 Peter 4:10. So if you want to look those up sometime, Now, when God allows us to have a problem, He doesn't take away. Everybody listen to this. When God allows us to have a problem, He doesn't take away. He gives us sustaining grace to live with it. If we keep our eyes on Him, and we keep our faith in Him, and He's the, you know, the substance. Remember we talked about that? He's our substance. That He gives us that sustaining grace to make it through it. There's an old saying that goes like this. It says, God will never put more on us than He gives us the grace to bear. And I believe that. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Now, sometimes God allows us to go through the fires of affliction to burn away our pride and self-confidence. I don't like to hear that one, but that's the truth. We will never experience God's power until we get rid of our pride. I'm preaching to me and you, right? James 4:6 says, but He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I'm going to say something. I really want you to listen to this. Everybody good? Not that you're not listening, but here we go. Our faith will never grow until we face a problem we can't handle on our own. I'm going to say that again. Our faith will never grow until we face a problem we can't handle on our own. You see, God wants our faith to grow continually and grow and grow and grow. So therefore, what this really means is that life is a series of problems that we can't really deal with ourselves. And most all of us are old enough here to understand what I mean by that. I think I said something about this a couple weeks ago, but you get going along in life and things are going really good and you kind of know in the back of your mind what? Something's coming. I don't know quite what it is. I got a lesson to learn. There's opportunities for spiritual growth, but something's coming that's going to change your gears, change your direction. It could be good, it could be bad. There's always something coming right around the corner, you know? Do y'all agree with that? Sometimes we will be like some of those who were not delivered. Sometimes people have to deal with or put up with whatever, maybe for the rest of your life. Maybe that's your lot in life. That maybe sounds negative, but it's the truth. I'm pausing because I'm careful, but I want to say that if God doesn't deliver me from this autoimmune disease that comes and goes and has flare-ups and it's very painful and sometimes it's like I don't have nothing wrong with it at all. But if God doesn't deliver me from that, maybe He will through my weight loss and eating right. But if He doesn't, I want to be able to say that my plan is I'm going to continue to preach the gospel. I'm going to continue to have faith in Him, right? I want to be able to believe that, at least today I do, that I'm going to continue trusting Him and believing Him all the way up until I'm 99 and a half years old. Maybe that by the time I'll be ready to go, I'm not sure. Me and God kind of worked out this thing, I'm going to live to 100. It's kind of a funny little thing, don't make fun of me, but we'll see. Amen? I don't know. Hopefully tomorrow I'll have that much trust and faith in the Lord, but today I'm feeling pretty confident that I would. I hope that you can say the same, right? Today, you know, we live, try to live one day at a time, for sure. But sometimes, whatever you're dealing with, whether it's just a good old corn, you know, on your toe, it might not ever go away. But it could be something even more serious that you just kind of have to keep dealing with for the rest of your life. But God's grace is sufficient for me, and God's grace is sufficient for you. You know, I can't help it. I can't help but think about Reagan, you know, when I think about that. He's doing better. I'll check in with him from here and there. But I don't know. He may have to deal with certain parts of that for the rest of his life. And, you know, I don't know how he does it. He keeps a good attitude and talks about Jesus and witnesses to his young man, you know. But, amen. Verse 38, let's look at that. It says, the world forced some of the God's saints to live like animals in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. And they were denied the world's comforts, but received God's commendation. So, to make your faith grow, we want to stay away from negative people, stay focused on God's purpose, switch from our pride to God's power. And then the fourth thing and the last thing is to stand on God's promises. So let's look at verse 39 real quick. Verse 39 tells us that all the great heroes of faith, though commended through their faith, did not receive that what was promised. Now, some of the heroes did receive some of the promises. Some of them went, you know, got made to the promised land, you know, that kind of thing. But none of the Old Testament heroes received the ultimate promise. That was the Messiah, a Savior. Everyone in the Old Testament, at least, I know some died thousands, but all the Old Testament saints at least died 400 years before Christ was born. But, according to Scripture, the Old Testament saints went to heaven by demonstrating the same faith as New Testament believers. In verse 40, it talks about that a little bit. In verse 40, it tells us that God had promised something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. So the people in the Old Testament were saved by the same faith you and I are saved. They were saved by faith, looking forward to what Christ would do on the cross. We are saved by faith, looking back at what Christ did on the cross. The Old Testament saints had a shadow of the coming sacrifice. And they were faithful for what they had. Okay? So one critical point in chapter 11 that I don't want you to miss. We're getting ready to finish up chapter 11. One critical point is that we can have faith. And I don't mean to dig around and get in people's business, but a lot of the faith movement folks, they just think if we have enough faith, everything can be good and happy. I just don't see how they get that. But one critical thing in chapter 11 is this, is that with faith does not guarantee us a life free of problems and pain. Having faith and strong faith does not guarantee us a life free of problems and pain. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. James 1, 2 and 3 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, which means patience. It means being able to endure and be patient. See, having problems that don't go away teaches us to faithfully wait on the Lord to fulfill His promise. We must faithfully wait on the Lord until He fulfills His promise. And it may be all the way until the point of where we actually die and then the promise of eternal life. And we will, you know, right? Amen? I've heard folks that have passed away and had cancer and, you know, oh, it didn't have enough faith, didn't get healed, and oh, God didn't heal that person of dying from cancer. No, yes, He did. When she gave up that old body full of cancer, God healed her. She went to heaven. Right? So that healing may have took place at the very last second. And then they went to heaven. And then one day they'll have a perfect body. David writes this, and I'll close. David writes this in Psalms 41 and 2. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. What was the rock upon which David could stand on? We've been talking about the whole time in Hebrews, the substance of things hoped for. That rock was God's promises, the living Word of God. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. Amen? Do you know Him today? Do you know Christ? I'm not asking if you've become religious or went to church all your life, but do you know Christ personally? If you don't, during the song of invitation, I'll be glad to pray with you. Just come down and we'll talk and we'll pray. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope, the everlasting hope, salvation. Thank you for the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Lord, I just give this over to you, Father, and ask you in your Jesus and your will. Amen.